Praise the Lord, y'all. Or you few, whatever the case may be. Bill, if you'll get ready to receive his tithes and our offerings this morning. Hallelujah. What a blessing. You know, everything that God designed, everything that we know about the blessings of God, were designed to show His blessings and His favor on us. And they were designed to be an avenue, or if you will, an open valve flowing with the blessings of God for our lives. And all of that is due to His love and His compassion. And I'll just tell you, and we're going to talk about this here in a few minutes, but from love comes compassion. And we know that because we look at John 3:16 and it talks about how God gave His Son, His only Son. After we betrayed Him, we didn't listen to what He said, Adam and Eve did, He still had compassion and He made a plan. And rather than destroy us, as He has in times past, He loved us so much that He gave us a way through His Son to be redeemed to Him. Amen. How about y'all? That's the most exciting thing. This morning when Patrick was first playing the music, it was so awesome. But the heart of worship that was there, and once again, I cried out, man, I got so excited when I saw those kids out there worshiping and praising God. These little guys worshiping and praising God. You know, that's the future. And they're going to be the leaders and the spiritual teachers of tomorrow. And to me, that is just so exciting that I don't know how to describe it to you. I love kids. I know Bill loves kids. I had a lot of fun when I was a school bus driver for Jefferson County. That was a great job. And Bill's lucky enough he's still doing it. And it is a blessing. And you have a chance to influence and impact these lives who may not know anything about the Lord because they've never been brought up in a Christian home. God is so good. Anyway, I guess that was for free. I'll stop right there. Anyway, Bill, if you will, please.
Yes, Heavenly Father, it's with the children that you can do more with, actually, sometimes, than you can with an adult.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Children don't have all the wrong teachings and stuff that they're struggling with that we as older people have, Heavenly Father. And that's why it's so important that we bring our children
Yes.
up in your ways, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless all the children. We ask you to bless each and every one of us too, because you see us as your children. And just
Yes.
like children, we need to be taught. We need to be reprimanded sometimes, but it's all for our own good, because everything that you have for us is for our good, Heavenly Father, so that we can be more effective for you. We ask you to bless this offering we are about to receive, to multiply it. We ask you to be with each and every person that's not here today, with Marie and Harry and Dusty and all those that are normally here. We ask you watch over them and let them be in good health. And we just realize that Jesus already paid for every sickness that there is, and that healing is your plan for us, Heavenly Father. That's what you told us in Jeremiah 29.
Yes.
In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Praise you, Lord. Just real quickly before we get into the music, let's just once again pray for people. Father, once again, we lift up those right now to you that are not here because of infirmity or because of afflictions that come from the enemy. We, again, devil, command you to get your hands off of God's property, those that you don't have any right to afflict them, to cause them harm, to cause them discomfort. You are a defeated foe. We remind you of that. And we thank you, Lord, that you paid the price by your stripes for that healing, Lord. So once again, we send your word to everyone who's not here, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, or whatever the reason, Lord, we just send your word right now. We thank you, Holy Spirit of comfort, that you're there comforting and you're ministering to those people. And right now, we, in Jesus' name, we rebuke that sickness. We rebuke that infirmity, that malady in Jesus' name, and command it to go back on the one who sent it, back on the devil. And we thank you, Lord, and we invoke once again the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, and the name at which every other name and every other entity must bow its knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank you, we praise you, and give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, y'all are the lucky ones. You get to hear this message firsthand. And as soon as we give our have praise the Lord, which we're going to do right now, you'll get to hear it. The others will have to get the CD. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about this message. Father, once again, we sit here and we stand here and we come here to hear your word, to hear from you, Lord, not from man, but from you. Lord, to that end, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking control. And once again, we've yielded to you, so we trust you. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish today. Change our hearts, change our lives, touch us, edify us, build us up, comfort us, and exhort us today, Lord. We are your people, Father. This is your house. And now, Lord, we look to you for direction, for correction, for growth in our faith and in our walk with you, Lord, being perfected more and more to be in your image and your likeness, to be effective ministers and witnesses and disciples in this earth. For that we praise and thank you forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I left church last Sunday, all of a sudden some thoughts came into my spirit. My understanding and God began to speak to me. And what he was speaking to me about is his love. The importance in love, what love does, and what's involved in love. This is by no way going to be a full view. By no means. I don't know why. The title that I got from the Holy Spirit was The Value of Love. If you want to turn with me to 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. Then we're going to talk about love and some different things it is and what the Bible says about love. How many know without love you can't have compassion? Amen? Praise the Lord. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Let's just look at that for a minute. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Okay, we first read that there's no fear in love, but now we see that love is an active thing that casts out fear. How many of you have ever had the fear that, you know, that, or you fought in your heart and your mind that, you know, your emotions, your soul nature, that, you know, you're not loved, no one cares, you know, you're just kind of out there on your own. And that's a lie. We're going to look on here in a few minutes and figure this out. Because fear involves torment. See, perfect love casts out fear. Fear involves torment. And we're going to look at a few of these words in just a minute and talk about it. But here's, listen to what the end of this scripture says. This passage says, it says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. And he who fears has not been made perfect. Now, we're not talking about perfection the way you think about it. We're talking about perfect in the fact that you have an understanding and you know that God is perfecting you every day of your life. Amen. Let's look at some of these words. That word fear there is translated fear, dread, terror, what strikes terror. And it also has another meaning that's very important. It's reverence or respect for one's husband. We're not going to look at that part of it. We're going to look at the first part. So in other words, there is no dread, there's no terror, or anything that strikes fear in love. Amen? In fact, if anything, it dispels it. Correct? Hallelujah. That word love is the word agape. And that's brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, and benevolence. There's nothing adverse in that at all. In fact, there's comfort in that. But perfect love, the word perfect there, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's brotherly love. It's affection. Goodwill. Love. And benevolence. So the love that God's talking about here is brotherly love, camaraderie, maybe another word, affection. God cares about us. Caring is affection. Amen. Goodwill and benevolence means you have a desire to bless. Amen. When you love. And when you're loved, you get blessed. Amen. That word perfect in verse 18 of 1 John 4 means brought to its end or perfected. In other words, maybe another way to put it. It's brought to its end. It's finished. Wanting nothing. Doesn't want anything because it's all of its needs are met. Wanting nothing that's necessary for completeness. What is perfect, or what is perfect, is consummate human integrity. That word perfect means consummate human integrity and virtue used of men, meaning you've come to adulthood, you're full grown, an adult, full of age or mature. When you walk in perfect love, when your love is perfected by God, then you are an adult. You have integrity, you have virtue, and it means you're full grown. You're an adult. You're a full age and you're mature. That takes a lifetime, folks. But every day, as we walk with the Lord, we grow and become more mature and flow in this a lot more. Then it goes on to say that, you know, perfect love casts out fear. In other words, it kicks it out because fear involves torment. That word torment there, in other words, means correction, punishment, or penalty. Fear brings correction, punishment, and penalty. Now, what does that mean? What are we talking about here? In other words, fear takes away our understanding. It supersedes our ability to walk in the freedom and the presence of God, and it cripples us. And that's the penalty for walking in fear, which is an absolute opposite of love and opposite of faith. Then when you go on and say, but he who fears, the word fears there means he who fears is put to flight because he's terrified. He's scared away. It means you flee. Gives you a feeling of wanting to run. Again, to fear or to be afraid. Listen, it means, that particular word fears means to be struck with fear, to be seized with alarm, used of those startled by strange sights or occurrences. And the word made perfect, when it says that that he who fears has not been made perfect, that word perfect just literally means complete, because we are incomplete without perfect love. Amen? If there's any fear, we're incomplete. But when we're made perfect in His love, and we are complete. Amen? Are you all really confused now? We have nothing to fear but fear itself. No, it doesn't say that. It says what he greatly feared. It's talking about Job. And it says what he greatly feared had come upon him. In other words, he was afraid for his children. If you go back and read the story, he was afraid for what was going on in their lives. But instead of giving them direction, instead of giving them teaching, instead of training them in the way that they should go, he went into fear. And those fears gripped him. He wasn't operating in faith anymore. He was operating in fear. And that fear caused him to lose everything. Also, that and the fact that he had some very unwise advisors and counselors and friends around him. Amen? Those kind of friends, bless their hearts, when you're in trouble or you got fear going on or something's happening in your life, you don't need friends like that. You need friends who are going to stand with you, and they're going to build you up by giving you the Word of God and support you by praying for you. Amen? And that's love. That's love. And why do they do that? That's compassion. Amen? Amen. Yeah, that's what we just said. That's what we just said. Yeah. Proverbs 15:1, listen carefully. At that point, you know, one of the things some people in churches and denominations like to do is point out the obvious. Well, if you weren't such a sinner and you didn't have all this going on in your life or that going on in your life, then these things wouldn't happen. Proverbs 15:51 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up strife." Now, here's what I'm trying to say. When you operate in love, just the way the Father, when He comes, how many know what I'm talking about? When the Father comes and says, "This is the way, walk in," and I know immediately I've messed up. But I'm not intimidated. I'm grieved, but I'm not intimidated, nor do I feel like I've been beat up. I understand that the compassion of God has just been shown to me, and His love towards me has been demonstrated. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen carefully. Some of the most powerful words in the Scripture, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world," or you and I, or if you will, individually put your name in that place. "For God so loved," and your name, "that He gave His only begotten Son." He did that for you. He gave His Son for you. "That whoever believes in Him," you got to believe in Him, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's called salvation. And that's love and compassion. Even though that He had to send Jesus to redeem us back because of the treason and treachery that we committed, or that Adam and Eve committed and we walked into because of the transference of blood in our lives, God didn't turn on us. He didn't destroy us. He loved us so much that He said, "I'm going to make this right." And He redeemed us back. And the veil, or the curtain, or if you will, the chasm that separated us, Jesus became the bridge and brought us together. He tore the veil in two, so now we could go back into the Holy of Holies and commune and fellowship with God. And that's love. Instead of giving us what we deserved, He gave us His Son. And His Son took what we deserved on Himself. We deserve the beatings. We deserve the cross. But that's not what we got. Hallelujah. To go along with Proverbs 15:1, Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife. Listen carefully. But love covers all sin. It's easy to go and point out somebody's fault. Somebody does something wrong, and we, because of our greatness and our you know, puffed up attitudes, our pride, go and say, "Well, you really fouled up this time." Yeah, and how long has it been since you did? Hatred stirs up strife. But love covers all sin. I believe the King James Version says covers a multitude of sin. See, love, when it's demonstrated and given towards us, that compassion that operates because of the love of God that's both in us and through us and that we have the ability to give back to others, it covers the sin. Amen? If you love, you have the ability to loose someone from their sin. You have the ability to put them in a place of, bring them back to a place of righteousness and to build them up. But harsh words and hatred, all it does is bring strife. Amen? Who's that sound like? The enemy. Amen. Jealousy, hatred, they're not even in the same league with, in fact, they're the opposite of love. Galatians 5:16 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." It doesn't make any difference whether you're circumcised or not. That was a big dispute back in the days of Jesus and prior to, or in that era at that time. It was a big dispute. You know, the Jews were out accusing everybody, "Well, you're not circumcised, so you're unclean." This is the Word of God. Read it, Galatians 5:16. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." You know, it's interesting that God gave me these thoughts and brought this into me since we're... What month is this? It's the love month, amen? Valentine's Day? But listen to the last part of Galatians 5:16. "But faith working through love." You want to know what avails things in our lives? What brings about things in our life? It's faith working through love. I'm sorry? That's what I said, Galatians 5:6. If I said 16, forgive me. I apologize if I said that. Let's just read it from the Bible, then we'll know we got it right. Yeah, it's verse 6, Galatians 5:6. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." That's what's going to accomplish something in somebody's life, in somebody who's hurting, in somebody who's got problems, somebody who's running around in fear. Amen? God did not. This was a Mosaic law, a Jewish tradition, and God says in the Word of God, flee, first of all, idolatry, genealogies, and vain traditions. Flee them. Don't get involved in them. They bring bondage. They're a source of contention. What that? In the Levitical law. But what about the Gentiles? We'll move on. We'll address this at a later time. Anyway, but faith working through love. If you're going to cause change in somebody's life, if you're going to bring comfort, if you're going to take and dispel that fear, you have to do it by love. And let's face it, what's one of the biggest fears that we have? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat a worm. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Or if you want to just write it down, you can do that. 1 Corinthians 13:8. This is something we should all be familiar with. Love never fails. Never becomes obsolete. In fact, let's look at verse 15. "And now abide." In other words, now are resident. Now lives. Faith, hope, and love. These three. But isn't that interesting? He says at the end, but the greatest between faith and hope and love is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. The Bible says when you see a brother taken in fault, restore that one. Restore him. How do you do that? By going out and pointing out his faults? You know, I started to say something, and I don't think I got the thought completely out. People already know what their shortcomings are. They already know where they're missing the boat or missing the mark. Amen? Is there anybody here that didn't know when they missed the mark or that don't know when they missed the mark? Don't all shout me down now. And you know what the Bible says? God holds us accountable for what we know, not what we don't know. Amen? And the Bible says if your heart condemns you, this is again compassion from God. This is the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. You know? The Word of God. And that is, if our heart condemns us, He's greater than our heart. His compassion will come. It'll bring freedom. It'll bring blessing to your life. And you don't have to be afraid anymore. See, if we listen to some people out there, God's out to get us. And if He's out to get us, then, honey, we're all in trouble, because I can't remember one day in my life where I didn't at least once, if not 50 million times, screw up. Amen. Amen. And y'all are no different than I am. Amen. What do you mean confronting you? Linda, darling, let me tell you something. The devil will never correct you. He will torment you. He will bring fear. He will put you down. He will try to destroy you. The Bible says there is no good thing in the devil. No good can come from him. He's a liar and the father of all lies. And the way you know if it's the enemy tormenting you or God correcting you is the fact that when God comes, He comes with love and compassion, and you feel peace. You don't feel fear. When God comes to me and corrects me when I've done wrong, I'm not afraid of Him because I know He's not out to hurt me. He's not out to destroy me. He's out to make sure that my life becomes what He designed it to be. And that's one who can fellowship with Him and one who can be a minister and a teacher to disciples, to disciple people. The devil can't do that. It's not possible. It's just not possible. He can't. There's no good. The moment that he committed treason against God in heaven, the moment he decided he was going to be God and he was going to dethrone God, that was it. It was over. There was no second chance for him. There is no second chance for him. A third. Collect my thoughts here. Anyway, that's a bunch. When we consider the Bible talks about 10,000, 10 times 10,000, and legions of angels. Read about Elisha and Elijah. John 13:35 says, "By this will all men know," or "by this all will know that you are my disciples." How do they know? Or how are they going to know? If you have love one for another. Again, we read love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers all sin. Amen? Love doesn't consider the sin. It considers love. Love is for you. Love is not against you. If somebody comes to you and points out your fault, let me tell you something. I taught my children, I don't care what you do. Well, I did care, and they knew that. But what I told them is it doesn't make any difference what you do. If you do something foolish and you get in trouble, don't run from me, run to me. I may not like what you did, but I will walk through it with you. We will get through it, and when it's over, I will never, ever throw it in your face or use it against you. It doesn't consider wrongdoing. Sin is wrongdoing. Sin is disobedience. And the way that people know that you have God in your life is by the love we share one with another. And that's not just as believers. That's with people out there too. See, love looks past sin and looks to what could be. And unrighteousness looks towards sin and is ready to point out sin and fault in a person's life. I just told you. God says, this is the way, walk in it. Where's there any disparaging remarks there? Where is there any pointing out of well, you know, I'll forgive you, but you did this. This was, you know. God said He removed our sin, our disobedience, as away from us as far as the east is from the west. He said He buried it in the deepest sea. Isn't that right? And He remembers it no more. Amen? We talked about that here a couple weeks ago, or in the past couple weeks. Turn with me back, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read several verses here. We're going to read verses 7 through 12. See, when love is there, when God's love is in us and flowing through us, we don't look at ungodliness. We look at the fact that God loves, and by the demonstration of love from us to other people, we demonstrate that love, and it brings reconciliation and restoration, not damning turning on people. Amen? That's part of remembering what manner of person we are. Looking in that mirror, looking in the Word for the mirror, to remember what we were before God got a hold of our lives. And I don't think anybody here would argue the fact that it wasn't pretty. Amen. All right. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. I guarantee if there's no love in your life, you don't know God. And God's love has never been demonstrated to you, and you've never received God's love. I guarantee it. He who loves, let's go to the next one, verse 8. He who does not love, does not know God, for God is love. Here's one of the things we need to understand. There are certain things that are spoken of about God and Jesus in the Word. And these are not things God possesses and Jesus possesses. They are things He is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is there anything there that I need to repeat? It's not just what He possesses. It's not just what He brings. It's what He is. When He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, He doesn't just possess good things. He is the way, the only truth, and the only life. You're going to live, live godly, or you're not living. You're existing. And honey, it ain't pretty. And we can all say that because we've been there on the opposite side of the fence in this. Amen? All right, verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested or revealed toward us. God sent His only begotten Son, John 3:16, into the world that we might live through Him. Now, if you don't think John 3:16 demonstrated love, then you see in the Scripture where Jesus was stretched out. You want to know how much He loves you? This much. This much. To say, I got this covered. I got it. I'll take it on me. My Father loves you. I love you because He loves you. And I'll take it on me. And I'll be the scapegoat and take everything that would separate you from me, that would make you sick, that would make you afraid, that would make you impoverished, make you unstable in any way. I'll take it on me. And He did. And with all that corruption on Him, that's when God still loved His Son. But the reason God turned away, turned His face from Jesus, is because He couldn't stand the sight of all that sin. It grieved Him. It grieved Him. That's why the Scripture says, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? know about you, but I'd say that's love. That's unconditional love. It's not based on how he treats us. I mean, how we treated him is what we do. We rejected him. We sinned against him. Adam and Eve turned the very thing that he told them and did wrong. There's some of us who'd consider that a spit in the eye. Uh-huh. Amen. And yet he still loved us. Let's move on. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the advocate or the stand-in for us, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Remember, we just read back a few scriptures ago that if there's any fear in us, God's love is not perfected in us? And this scripture says in verse 12, it says, no one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected. In other words, it has brought us to maturity, to adulthood in God. Amen? That doesn't mean the story's over. Now listen carefully. Let's rightly divide the word of truth here. It doesn't mean the story's over. It means we're coming to a place where we can continue to grow, where we've come off of milk. We're now getting into the Word, the meat of what God has for us. Amen? Hallelujah. No? It talks about people who God did write His laws in their heart, and He will write His laws in our heart. But if you don't know God, you don't know the laws of God, and you don't make any changes. The Bible says God says He's given to every man the measure of faith. The reason you have a conscience is because that's God's ability to try to bring you by the Word and by circumstances in your life to the place where you need repentance. Let me explain this to you, Linda. A man came to me one time and said, but we're all God's kids. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're God's creation, but we're not God's kids. You can't be a kid if you're not in the family. You can't be an heir if you're not in the family. You don't have any inheritance. I can't go to your family and expect I'm going to get an inheritance from you. You can't do that in my family. What are you going to hear? Exactly what Jesus said you'd hear if you didn't do what he asked you to do, what he told you to do. I don't know. You go away. Go away. I don't know who you are. Do you understand? Psalm 78:38. You can write it down if you want to. Even if you're not, if you're taking notes, fine. If not, Psalm 78:38. Listen carefully. But he, being full of compassion, filled full of compassion, what did he do? He forgave their iniquity. He forgave our iniquity. And did not destroy them. Have any of you been destroyed lately? Well, you're sitting right here, so if you have been, something's up here. And he did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Even though he had the righteous right to pass judgment, the very reason that he created us is because when he created us for what reason? Relationship with him. Amen. Very good. Whoever said that, amen. A plus. He created us for relationship with him. Except she forgot my apple. Oh. Amen? Listen to me. I'm going to give you an example here in just a few minutes of compassion. And this was based on law, what I'm going to share with you. But let's go on. 38. Okay, and he did not stir up all his wrath. Let's turn over to Psalms 86. Psalms 86, verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and in truth. Full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering. Ooh, let me tell you something. I don't know about you guys, but I'm very thankful for long-suffering. Because if he was like some folks, man, the minute you messed up, oh, honey, the boom's going to get lowered. And you're going to be on the receiving end. Amen? When the hammer falls. You know, the Scripture talks about, and this again is love. I know some things you have to be able to look past. You can't deal with your... The Bible says the natural man does not receive the things of God. They are spiritually discerned, and he can't understand the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. And so when we read things and we hear things like it's better for the rock to fall on you and crush you to pieces. No, excuse me, it's better for you to fall on the rock and be broken. And what are we talking about? It's better for you to go into the presence of God and confess your faults, confess your sins, confess your screw-ups than it is for the rock to come and fall on you. I can't, Patrick will have to look that up. I can't tell you exactly where that is. That's talking about a millstone. We're not talking about the same thing. That's talking about if you offend one of the little kids. It's better that you weren't born and that a millstone be hung around your neck and you were drowned in the sea. That's talking about children. But what it's talking about there is the rock is Christ Jesus. It's better for you to fall on Jesus. Remember, the Bible says, upon this rock I will build my church. He's talking to Peter. Amen. That's another place where you're also talking about building your house on the sand or on a solid foundation. What's the outcome of those who build their house on the sand? When you build your house on anything or your life on anything except God and His principles, you are on unstable ground. And when the storm comes, guess what? Honey, your fear and your home and the storm is going to wash you away. Your fear and the storm is going to wash you away. If you make it out of it, it's only by the grace and mercy of God. Amen. Amen. Psalm 86:15 says He's full of compassion and gracious. Now let's look for a minute. Compassion is based on and comes from love. Compassion shows understanding, not condemnation. Amen? Are you with me? Let's look at the life of Joseph and Mary. Here's a prime example. The law at that time was that if your wife or your fiancé or whoever showed up pregnant one day, the law was to take them out and stone them, make a public example of them. Which means there was embarrassment and ridicule involved. Amen? Look at the harlot that was caught in the act of adultery and they brought to Jesus. And Jesus' comment was, "Let you, whichever one of you doesn't have sin in your life, let you throw the first stone." And he went, bent down and wrote again, and when he looked up, they were all gone. And he asked her, he said, "Where'd he go? Where are your accusers?" She says, "There's none." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you." You see, Jesus is the fulfillment of the will of God for us to be redeemed back to Him so He could have fellowship with us. Are you with me? So Joseph, here he is, he's in a dilemma. Mary is betrothed to him, fiancé, if you will. And all of a sudden she comes up pregnant. And he hadn't touched her. Well, in our carnal thinking, that's why the natural man, does not receive the things of God of the natural mind. They're spiritually discerned. If he'd have done what was in his heart to do because of the circumstances and because he loved her, he had compassion, he didn't want to just make an example of her and humiliate her. The Bible says he wanted to just do what was right and just put her away someplace and, you know, not subject her to all that ridicule. But Joseph being or finding himself in a precarious situation, we just talked about that precarious situation, pregnancy outside of wedlock, based on the standards of his day and having found Mary pregnant with Jesus. Gene, you want to come and bless us while you're anointed playing? Because of the love he had for Mary and the love he had for God and the word that came to him, remember the angel appeared to him and said, don't be afraid to take Mary your wife, for what's conceived in her is not man's, it's God's. Now that's basically what he said. He said, what's conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed her. So in other words, the same creative power that God used to create you and I and create the universe and create the world in Genesis 1:1 is the same power that conceived this baby in her. He spoke it into being. His Son coming in the flesh. Amen? Because of the word of the Lord and His love and compassion for Mary. Which word did he get it? He was a just man and a righteous man as much as you could be in the Old Testament. But he got it from God. He had compassion on Mary. And it was based on the love for her and his love for God. Do you see what I'm saying? See, love never considers a wrong done to it in 1 Corinthians 8, verse chapter 13. Love never considers a wrong done to it. Love is long-suffering. That means if I love you, especially in a marriage relationship, if I'm married to a woman or she's married to a man and there's long-suffering in that relationship, then that means you're content to wait on God to bring the change that's necessary. Because you've made a commitment. Well, I'll marry this guy or I'll marry this gal, but if it doesn't turn out the way I want it, I'm gone. Honey, that's not commitment and that's not covenant. That's lust and flesh. That's carnality. And what that says is, once again, you're not considering the imperfections in you. You just want what you want. That's called selfishness. That's called sensualism. Amen? It's a work of the flesh. Amen? The reason God tells us about long-suffering in 1 Corinthians 13 is because He's showing us what He is and who He is towards us. So for us to be in His image and likeness, we need to be long-suffering. Not consider a wrong suffered. In other words, somebody done us wrong. We don't consider that. In other words, we're not looking for vengeance. The Bible says to forgive 70 times, 7 times in a day. And more if it's needed, if it's necessary, if it's needed. If we're going to walk in righteousness, which we found out is a free gift, then righteousness doesn't look at the fault of another. Righteousness, God's righteousness in us, restores that person. I think I mentioned, if I didn't, I'll mention now. There's a scripture that says, if you see a brother taken in fault, restore such an one. It says, whosoever sins you retain are retained, and whosoever sins you loose are loose. Sin does, that doesn't mean sin against God. That doesn't mean sin of not believing. That means the things that bring irritation to our fleshly life. The things that, while they irritate God, God just understands because of the advocate, Jesus. Again, love. Love in operation in everything God does, in everything God is. That love is in operation. Making intercession for us, saying, I know about you. I know I've suffered it. I've gone through it. I've suffered everything that you suffer. And I understand. But you see, it's a perfecting process. A lifelong perfecting process. You just wake up one morning and say, Jesus, I repent. I'm sorry. I want you in my life. You know, be my Savior. And then it's all over. It's not all over. It's just the beginning. The very tip of the iceberg. Honey, all you see is that little island on the top of the water. But underneath is an enormous iceberg. Are you on the Titanic or are you on the love boat? God's love boat. Titanic made a mistake and sank, and many people perished. But in God's love boat, John 3:16 says, you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Amen. To whom much is given, much is required. Amen. Again, how will we escape if we neglect or don't value, if you will, that's another way to put it, don't value the salvation that God's given us. And in that salvation, salvation, first of all, was based on love. And the walk we walk right now in this flesh, in this life, is salvation. God perfecting us, overlooking our faults, our shame, and saying, come, I love you. I've started the work in you. I'm teaching you. I'll complete it. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. I've done this. I started the work. I'm going to finish it. I'll complete it. How can he complete a work if halfway through it he kills you and says, wow, you just messed up so much I couldn't take it anymore? How are you going to be perfected? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? God's love is so vast and unconditional. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to lose it. There's nothing you can do to keep it except just receive it. Love Him back. Amen? And love the way He says to love. Love one another. I don't care what irritation comes. I don't care which one of you brings an irritation to my life. I don't consider it and I don't take offense to it. That's called maturity. Am I totally there? No. But I'm pressing on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Are all hearts clear? Has God ministered to your heart today? Has the Word ministered to your heart today? The value of love. To be able to walk and live and see others through eyes of mercy and compassion and love. Not what they do in their actions, but based on the fact that you understand the compassion that God had on you. And now you're ready and willing and through Him, able to pass on that love. Amen? Hallelujah. Are all hearts clear? If anyone needs prayer, for any reason, please let us pray with you. Yes, ma'am. What's that? Yes. Linda? God's word says we have favor with God and man. Amen. And the word says, even when we're about to dash our foot against a stone or stumble, if you will, His angels are there to take care of us. Amen. Amen. That's unconditional love. That's love in operation. Amen. And what did He say? He said, I won't leave you and I won't forsake you. And nothing. And that means nothing. Nothing you do, nothing you say, nothing that happens, not any other thing will be able to, or will, or can separate you from the love of God. Not heights, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other thing can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Missed a good place to shout.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Are all hearts clear? Thank you for that testimony. Amen. I was reminded of another scripture that God, you know, He says, He knows what you have need of before you ask. Because He's God. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank You for this time, for this day, Lord. Thank You for Your Word and thank You for Your love. Lord, it's impossible through human thinking or human reasoning or human understanding to understand or grasp a hold of Your love. But Father, we stand here because we felt it. We know it's real. We know it's in operation in our life. Lord, what we ask is that You would help us to love the way You love. To not put attachments on our love, but to love without any thought of receiving anything in return, Lord. Just love. And Lord, the only way that's possible is through You. Because You love us, Lord, that's the only way it's possible. Because we received it and because we walk in it from You, Lord, that's how we know that we don't expect anything from anyone. We just love, Lord. Because that's how You are. Father, I pray that Your love would manifest through us to others, Lord, and that they would see and know You because of that. That we can be the examples of the light that's set on a hill, Lord, to other people. Seal Your word now in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of promise. In Jesus' name, we thank You for this day. Now, Lord, once again, we ask You to sanctify our food and our fellowship. And we bless You, Lord. We give You praise and thanks. Thank You for meeting our needs and providing for us. In the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.